When you're a maintenance engineer in a beverage manufacturing plant, you keep production lines moving and quality on track because there's no room for slowdowns. With Grainger's vast selection of high-quality motors, sensors, belts, and hard-to-find parts, you can get what you need fast and all in one place, so nothing gets in the way of getting the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. It is not, however, Todd Starnes. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes, moving those Liberty University studios out from Memphis, Tennessee, over to Wichita, Kansas. My flagship station, KQAM, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. And hey, it's Friday, man. You finally made it. Pat yourself on the back. It's so wonderful to have you with us here for the Todd Starnes radio show. And I am so looking forward to chatting with all of you on all the great topics. What a week it's been, man. It almost seems like a whirlwind of chaos. Every single week, we're back after the 4th of July celebrations, America's 250th birthday. And I know that you are excited to continue that momentum of patriotism going into the midterm season for 2026. But welcome into it. Again, the Todd Starnes radio show, 901-260-5926. If you want to join the program, there are plenty of things that I want to pick your brain on today. One of those is probably the most interesting story of the entire day, totally non-political. But we were having, I got to tell you, the conversations that you have in a radio studio before the mic actually flips on is probably one of the most intriguing conversations you'll have. Dylan, come on here for a moment. First off, it's great to work with you guys. Happy Friday to you. Todd's out and about. We'll hear from him again real soon. But I got to ask you, Dylan, here's the question. And I swear I have not been consuming the devil's lettuce, if you know what I mean.
Okay. All right.
All right. Here's the question for you. If you are cloned, okay? Yeah. I don't know where this conversation even came from. This one of my coworkers today. If you are cloned, like completely cloned, the same DNA, the memories, everything, you are completely cloned as another person.
Yeah.
Then is your girlfriend cheating on you if Ooh. They're with that clone?
Like, is she going to cheat on me with the clone? Or
yeah. Well, like if you both are there and your girlfriend's with your clone because it's you, but is that cheating?
I feel like I would kill him way before he got to that point.
See, well, there is that. And you know, when I talked to my wife about this, this is years ago, she said the same thing. Like, if there were two of her, but she's like, there's no way because I would do the same thing. She's like, I would kill her. There's no way because that's cheating. But if it's you, biologically, the DNA test is you, the fingerprint checks out is you, the memories are there, you know, that's you. So is it really cheating?
There's got to be something that's off about my clone that my my wife could decipher between me and my clone. Maybe not, but I feel like in all the scary movies, there's one thing that's a little bit wrong with the clone, or if it's like a mummy or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's always that one little thing. There's an old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie called The Sixth Day. I don't know if you've seen that one. One of my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movies back in the early 1990s, where that was the story. Like, he was cloned and the wife had no clue, but there was like a dot under his eye that shows that you are the clone and that you're actually number two. But because they didn't even know, the clone itself didn't even know that it was a clone. So yeah, I swear that was not like the devil's lettuce conversation in the middle of the night. That was a conversation that somehow got brought up to me by a coworker at the radio studio this morning, and my brain broke, and I lost all track of thought for politics and the current events and story of the day, because then you start thinking, like, for the spiritual and faith individuals like us here on this program, you know, I think it comes down to the consciousness and the soul is the same soul in two separate bodies, and I think that's really where the difference comes from. But how can you tell based on DNA, based on the memories, and based on the exact same appearance? How do you know? How do you really know? That's an interesting concept.
I love this. I definitely feel like my clone would have some evil intentions. I don't know. He can't be me. He doesn't have
It's your alter
soul.
Ego.
Yeah,
it's your alter ego.
I didn't even think about the soul part. Like, that's a good point. He definitely wouldn't have the same soul as me, right? I don't know.
Unless you can find a way to copy consciousness, which I guess arguably philosophically is the soul. The reason I bring it up, and here's the perfect segue into the topic of the day, where's Mitch McConnell? And is Mitch McConnell going to be cloned and brought back into the U.S. Senate to continue to represent that seat? See what I did there? I got the perfect segue into the topic of the day. That's really good. Well done. I'll pat myself on the back on that one. Mitch McConnell has been MIA for a while now, and I don't know if you've seen any news, Dylan. I have been looking, other than a new leaked video, never before and seen captured video and photos of Senator Mitch McConnell taking into the ambulance after he was found unconscious in his home from an alleged heart attack where he was unconscious. We don't know any other information. He's been out of commission for a good month or so now. And now the questions are starting to arise. Is he dead? Is he brain dead? Has he been cloned? Is his consciousness been copied to somebody else? Where the heck is Mitch McConnell? It's a great question. And I really don't know where he's at. And look, if you live in the state of Kentucky, I want to hear from you. Do you feel betrayed almost, and I'm going to put some blame on the Republican Party, and I'm going to put some blame on Mitch McConnell's office here. Do you feel betrayed that in a we the people representative government that's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth, that mindset that was given eloquently by Abraham Lincoln, that type of representative government, if you don't have your elected official that is on par doing their job in Washington, D.C., properly representing you, then do you feel betrayed? Now, look, because this entire situation could have been avoided, right? I mean, the office of Mitch McConnell could have seen him, I don't know, a year ago, year and a half ago, when he was blanking out during press conferences and just completely froze for 40 seconds at a time. They would have said, you know, maybe he's not the guy that needs to keep filling in the seat, and we need to get somebody else in here and call for a special election and get it in now, because now we're at a point where we're in a midterm season. And the political flavors are riled up, and we have the other side gunning for these seats, and we don't want to upset the boat. We don't want to lose a Republican seat with the slim majority that we already have. I mean, right now, the polls at least show that we have a four-seat majority. Democrats are expected to gain maybe one, but optimism still lingers that we could have a 2-3-seat majority after the midterm season this year. But I don't know. Are we concerned about potentially losing it? And especially with Mitch McConnell, that's not there for Kentucky to call for a special election and remove him from office and nominate somebody else. Do you feel betrayed as a member of the state of Kentucky on Mitch McConnell not being there representing you in a representative kind of government? I find that interesting. But Dylan, I think that was 100% A+ on the transition from those two conversations.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because I'm fully bought into the cloning. I mean, I don't know if it's cloning, but it's something. It's like disguising someone as someone else.
That's right. I'm fully bought in. We did see that allegedly with Joe Biden, right? I mean, his ears got bigger, he got taller, and he still got weirder, which is, if you're going to copy Joe Biden, why would you have someone that still can't complete a coherent sentence? I mean, that's to me, that like kills the entire theory that Joe Biden was a clone or somebody else copying him in trying to mask themselves as him. Because if you're going to have someone mimic somebody else, at least have them be able to do a coherent sentence as the president of the United States. So to me, that kills all the theories that Joe Biden was not really Joe Biden.
They can't be worse. They can't be.
Yeah, you can't make him worse. Exactly. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. But
good point.
So Mitch McConnell, I'm wondering where he's at. And look, you can call for the special election in Kentucky. My theory that I've had on this situation is that this is not the Republican Party necessarily concerned about losing a Republican seat in Kentucky. I know you have a Democrat governor there with Andy Beshear, but you will have two Republican senators. You have Rand Paul there, for crying out loud, as well. You're still a relatively red state with Kentucky. I would mimic it to probably here in Kansas where I live. We have a Democrat governor, but our legislature is in a supermajority, three-quarters of it. Not only just Republican, conservative Republican that does very well. And if we, God forbid, had to do a special election for a Senate seat, I would have no concern about it remaining red in some fashion. And we do have an election here with Senator Roger Marshall that's up for re-election. And by the way, Kansas has held the both Senate seats as Republicans for more than 90 plus years, almost 100 years in the state that we've had Republican senators here. I'm not worried about that. And I don't think personally, at least, that Republicans are concerned about losing the Senate seat if Mitch McConnell were dead or drooling in the hospital or whatever, brain dead, wherever he's at right now. Hopefully not, you know, all thoughts and prayers to him. Hopefully he can recover, but he's not doing the job. In my theory, is not the fear of losing the seat to a Democrat, but personally, my theory is the deep state establishment rhino Republicans afraid of losing a seat of fighting against Trump among the Republican ranks. I personally think it's more of them losing Mitch McConnell and potentially getting somebody else in there that's going to work more closely with Donald Trump, giving him an extra vote to pass the Save America Act to try and do some of the things that Mitch McConnell didn't like because he wanted the status quo, keep the flow going, fight against Trump on some of these major issues. And I got to admit, Dylan, I think this falls right in line, just like what we saw with John McCain back in the day when John McCain had brain cancer and we didn't see him in office for 6 months straight, which is really bad. Arizona, how do you feel about that one not having proper representation? He was in a hospital for brain cancer, but he showed up to DC one time. And do you remember, Dylan, what that was?
I actually don't, but go ahead.
To vote on the repealing of Obamacare. Yes. And John McCain, after all those months of not showing up in D.C., rolled into D.C., voted against the repealing of Obamacare, was that tie-breaking vote to spite Trump admin 1.0, and then flew back to Arizona, and we never saw him in D.C. again until he passed away from his brain cancer. And honestly, if Mitch McConnell had any cognitive ability, if we did put the Save America Act on the floor right now with the Senate, or when they reconvene next week and they go back to D.C., it would not surprise me if the clone Mitch McConnell actually didn't show up to D.C. just to spite Donald Trump and vote against the Save America Act and then fly back to Kentucky and we'd never hear from him again.
I see that happening 100%.
Right? That's the world that we live in, and it's kind of crazy. So where are we? Voters in Kentucky, I want to hear from you. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Do you feel betrayed in the fact that you do not have the best representation in the state of Kentucky because you have one of your two senators that's not even there, that's cognitively apparently not able or capable of being there whatsoever, and what do we do about it? Now we're in the political season. Now we're in the between the rock and the hard place. How do we navigate this water when we could have addressed this way before and avoided this issue altogether, but we didn't because we want to stay in office as long as possible, and you continue to apparently vote him in there time after time after time again, and now we're in a place to where we could lose the seat. Democrats are fired up. They're foaming at the mouth. They smell blood, and they're coming after you, and we could potentially see a flip of that seat with whatever may happen, and we're desperately trying to hold it as a secret to the situation of what Mitch McConnell looks like in that seat. Got to take a break here. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in. We're going to keep it fun. There's a lot to cover today. We're going to keep it lighthearted, but make your head scratch just a little bit today with some of the conversation we're going to have here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Somebody has to help this country, and if they don't, the country and the world are in big trouble.
One of the most polarizing political figures in American history gets a full-scale defense. The America 250 film series presents Vindicating Trump. Go inside the battles, accusations, media storms, and legal fights that shaped an historic comeback story. It's Vindicating Trump this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. It is a Friday, and I want to hear from you today, 901-260-5926. I don't think that the Republican Party, look, as a conservative Republican myself, as the vice chair of the Republican Party for the state of Kansas, I like to be critical because I like to hold ourselves to a little bit higher standard with this issue with Mitch McConnell going kind of MIA during an election season, during a midterm season, during the time when everybody's speculating Democrats are going to gain all this momentum and all this control and we're going to lose the House and lose the Senate and Democrats are going to impeach Donald Trump and it's going to be a stagnation for the next 2 years. I really scratch my head and I get frustrated because we almost cause a lot of the issues ourselves, don't we? There's a lot of drama from within the Republican Party, and we could have completely avoided the situation, but the old guard, man, they just cling onto power as much as possible, kind of like how the old guard of the Democrat side is trying to desperately hold onto power and control from their end as well with this rise of the Democratic Socialists of America. And yes, apparently now the Democratic Socialists of America have not only their own platform, but are working under the umbrella of the Democrat Party. Now, Cory Booker, a.k.a. Spartacus, has come out in the past week or so and said that he enjoys the larger umbrella of the Democrat Party and that he embraces the larger umbrella of the Democrat Party. Got to be honest, I don't know that I've seen a wide umbrella of the Democrat Party because the radicals that have taken over pretty much have made the claim that if you don't agree with what we stand for, You're out. You're done. Blue Dog Democrats, you old school Democrats, the union workers, the blue collar workers, the people that still enjoy their Second Amendment, the people that still like lower taxes but just want a little bit of help, all of you that have voted Democrats for years and for decades, you probably don't recognize your party right now. And you're scratching your head wondering what's going on with the Democrat Party because you don't recognize anything that's going on with this Democratic Socialists of America. Because, I mean, prime example is the transgender issue and Caitlyn Jenner. Back in the day, if you remember, what was that? Early 2000s, 2010s? I don't remember. It's been too long. My time sense is really, really bad. But back then, it was Caitlyn Jenner is the most beautiful, precious butterfly on the face of the earth. And if you don't support Caitlyn Jenner, you are the problem because Caitlyn Jenner is a wonderful, beautiful human being. In fact, was on Times Magazine for the most beautiful woman or something, which is really kind of crazy. If you see Caitlyn Jenner now on Fox News, you might want to reevaluate that narrative. But when Caitlyn Jenner came out and actually opposed the trans athletes for boys participating in girls' sports, the left rejected. Now, Caitlyn Jenner, as a transgender individual, is now rejected as a right-wing conspiracy nut, and how dare that you actually support her whatsoever, or him, or whatever. So, look, the purism is in the Democrat Party, and a lot of Democrats have been shunned, which is why there's a civil war going on right now, and the Democrat Party, in my mind, is trying to fight back and push back against the Democratic Socialists of America. How do I know that? Well, we're going to go to Maine in a little bit and talk about Graham Plattner, because that's just an interesting story. That's really fun to watch. But the Democrat Socialists of America have come out with their platform. Hat tip to Fox News today on this one. According to a source familiar with the DSA's planning, the organization now is calling out and rolling out their plan to which they're going to update fully next week, and their long-term vision for U.S. policy that includes eliminating the U.S. Senate and replacing the president and the Supreme Court with an executive branch and judiciary branch that's chosen by and subordinate to Congress. In other words, we're going to get rid of the entire governmental system. We have the three branches of government, and we're going to get rid of the checks and balance system. We're going to remove the judiciary, or we're going to stack the courts probably, and the executive branch are going to remove the president, and you're going to be a subordinate to Congress because Congress is going to choose everything. And oh, by the way, it's only going to be portion of Congress because it's going to be the U.S. House of Representatives. Remove the U.S. Senate completely and only have the House members that now get to choose the president and the Supreme Court. Now, why would they do that? At a time when we're seeing potentially the flip of Democrats gaining majority in the House, which more than likely they will if the election were at least held right now, because Republicans like to self-sabotage. We like to create more drama than necessary at a time like the issue with Mr. Squirrel Cheeks himself, Mitch McConnell, that we create our own drama and fight worse amongst ourselves than we do against the real enemy, political enemy. Got to be very clear today because of the political violence going on today. Political enemy that we try to fight with words and with ideas, not with our physical actions. But while we try to beat ourselves up, Democrats are looking to overhaul the entire system and change the way our government functions in the first place. With a rise of this Democratic Socialists of America that's hijacking the Democrat Party, this is their plan. This is not conspiracy. This is not weird, just fringe. This is the party that's taking over the Democrats, and it's a report by Fox News of what their long-term goals and plans actually are to reform how government works in the first place. If that's not the most dangerous thing that we've ever heard, I don't know what is. I mean, look, we just came off America's 250th birthday, and if we're going to survive another 250 years, we should probably make sure something like this doesn't actually happen, because holy cow, man, to remove the U.S. Senate and make the president and the judicial branch completely subordinate to what Congress wants and give them all the power, that's kind of weird. I don't even know how a system like that works. That's even worse than like what we had with the Articles of Confederation before the Constitution. Very strange stuff. I want to hear your thoughts on some of this. Let's go to Maine and Graham Plattner when we come back around the corner. Lots going on today for a Friday on the Todd Starnes Radio Program.
The secret that's about to seriously upgrade your downtime. Mistplay is always running these massive sweepstakes, from major cash prizes to top brand bundles to thousands of dollars in gift cards for Amazon, Visa, Target, and more. You just play your favorite mobile games,
earn points, and you cash out those points for entries. Missed play is 100% free. No deposit, no subscription, no hidden fees. Download Missed Play today and start winning.
What a Friday. Welcome back into it. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. You can find all Todd's information at toddstarnes.com. The new book and all the information that he's got. Make sure to sign up for all the writings that he has and all the great information. He'll be back at it here before you know it, but Andy Hoosier sitting in today. You can find my information, by the way, on my website at HoosierReason.com. That's H-O-O-S-E-R Reason.com. You can find all my great radio affiliates based out of Wichita, Kansas with my flagship station. And we're a great affiliate here of the Todd Starnes radio show in Wichita, Kansas. Real quickly, before we get back to this issue, the Democrat Socialists of America, just wrapping up a little while ago, the Justice Department had a live press conference giving an update on the latest on the conspiracy charges of the UFC Freedom 250 fight that was at the White House back in June, which, by the way, Dylan, did you watch that fight? I know that you don't watch a whole lot of UFC, but did you watch the Freedom 250 fight?
I didn't see the fights. I saw the after interviews. That's what the real show was.
You didn't see the real fight?
No, I didn't catch him.
Oh, man, you got to go back and watch that. That was the most iconic fight. You want to talk about the whole, like, encompassing the American spirit of, like, the true American grit, rising from the ashes, being the underdog, the true American spirit of just, you know, facing the challenge and coming out on top. And that was the best fight. The main card, Justin Gaethje and Ilia Topuria, who's from Spain, who was undefeated. This guy was supposed to be like the greatest thing since sliced bread. It was a 6-1 odd for Justin Gaethje, the American, to come into that fight. And Justin Gaethje's pretty awesome. I'm a big fan of him anyways. He was going into it 6-1 odds as the underdog to win that fight and brutalized Ilia Topuria and gave him his first loss to the point they gave up while sitting on the stool between rounds because he couldn't see out of his eyes. He just couldn't do it. It was incredible. It was the true American spirit, man. I'd shed so many tears that night, them walking out of the White House, the patriotism, the Air Force Band or the Marine Corps Band or whatever it was that was there doing the walkout music live. It was incredible.
The scene they said was incredible. Yeah,
it was.
Even like not even watching the fight, the scene there, like that's a movie. That's not even real. It's crazy how good that
100%. They did such an amazing job. It was, to me, one of the greatest events I have ever seen in my life. Absolutely loved it. And the win with Justin Gaethje was amazing. Nonetheless, I'm sure people have been aware of the situation that there was a terror threat on the UFC event. The Justice Department just wrapped up a few minutes ago with a press conference giving an update on the indictment of 8 men that have been charged over the planned attack at the White House, where this one coming from PBS.org, the indictment returned in Ohio charges in all 8 of the individuals in 2 separate conspiracies, one to provide material support to terrorists, and a second charge to commit murder on federal government territory and to murder a federal government official. According to the indictments, they say law enforcement learned about the possible threat to Donald Trump at the UFC cage fighting show 4 days before the mixed martial arts extravaganza. They announced the federal charges against the individuals that included where they were from in different states, including Ohio, Missouri, Washington, Nebraska, and California, where the members had harbored fringe conspiracy theories and hoped to attack would destabilize the government, where they were planning on using drones. They wanted bombs to go off to have people rush into a bottleneck situation and pick them off with snipers. Like, it was a whole orchestrated, ridiculous thing. Department of Justice just wrapping up their press conference on moving forward with those indictment charges. So we don't have a lot right now as more posts on what those details look like. We'll give those to you. But, man, what a wild time. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones here. Let's go to Charles, listening from North Carolina on WSIC. Charles, what's up, my friend?
Appreciate you taking my call, Andy.
Yeah.
So this whole DSA platform, Andy, if you think about it, everything that they are suggesting that they want is illegal constitutionally. I don't know how they can run for office. So that once they're elected, they're going to be up there and be ceremonially sworn in and raise their hand and take an oath to the Constitution. And then they're going to set about undoing what our founding fathers created. Yeah. I'll tell you where that used to happen, Andy. In the old Soviet Union, you had the Central Committee and the Politburo chose the Supreme Leader, like Leonid Brezhnev, Yuri Andropov, Chernenko, and Mikhail Gorbachev. But what they are advocating, and I'm not sure these people are even, if they're clued in, they're advocating for a communist form of government. Mm-hmm. And the party that supposedly believes in democracy actually doesn't give a damn about democracy. I mean, you look what happened, how Kamala Harris was selected by the leadership of the party. Graham Platner, I mean, that guy's a loony bird, but nevertheless, the voters knew what they were getting. They still voted for him. And now his replacement's going to be selected by the party leadership. But, Andy, what concerns me is that this DSA is a cancer within the party. Party leadership has been eerily silent. But this can spread, and this can take root, and I think it could take over. I mean, I completely agree.
We've seen this for a while. They've been doing what they can to move in, and you're absolutely right. You stole my thunder and all of it, because this is completely unconstitutional. Look, when you put your hand on the Bible or whatever religious book that you do, and you raise your hand and you swear that you're going to uphold the Constitution of the United States, you can't say that you're going to upend the entire form of our constitutional government and our rule of law while you take that oath. And people that are currently in office that are advocating for this, I think should be removed, because they're not upholding the values and the rule of law with the Constitution. And you're right, the Democrat Party has no democratic process whatsoever. They booted Joe Biden out and put somebody else in there without the voice. They're doing it with Graham Platner. We're seeing it around the country right now. It is a virus. It is very dangerous, and we need to be aware of it. Now, I'm glad the Democrats are kind of sort of starting to fight back, but they're not doing it the right way. They're doing it by deepening in the corruption and deepening into the sleaziness of the party and how they actually have a lack of representation in their party. So they're just as bad as the socialists right now, and I think we're going to see right now the demise of the Democrat Party moving forward.
Well, I do too. It's not going to resemble anything that it used to. And I just like to know, where are the Democrats that are, if there are any left, any sensible patriotic Democrats that believe in a constitutional republic? You know, when are they going to speak up? Because, you know, the Nazis used parliamentary democracy to gain power, and then once in power, they abolished parliamentary democracy. Right. The Democratic Socialists are wanting to use democracy to gain power, and then once they get power, they're going to abolish our democracy. Yeah. But they've got to be dealt with, because I never thought Joe Biden would ever get elected president, and, it was stolen. But that he would ever be sitting in the White House, socialism would take root. Remember Donald Trump in 2020 said America will never be a socialist country, and look what happened. They got power, and they moved the goalpost in that direction. So we just need to be very vigilant about this movement, because they're a major threat to our existence.
One last thing for you, Charles, and we'll let you go here. Donald Trump sent out a tweet last week about saying that this is not socialism, it's pure communism, and I've been preparing for this for a long time, and he said pretty much sit back and watch, because it's going to be a fireworks show, and get ready, because we've been preparing for this for a long time. It was a very cryptic tweet, or a Truth Social, and I'm trying to find it, but he posts so much, it's hard to find from 2 weeks ago. I don't think I'll ever find it, but what do you think that means? If Donald Trump is aware of it, which I think he is, I think most of us have seen this coming for a long time, what is that cryptic message mean from President Donald Trump, saying that he's been preparing for this and that sit back and watch the fireworks?
I think what he's saying, Andy, is that this whole movement has been unfolding for years. And now that he's under his leadership, I think they have the evidence of everything that's occurred. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot of that being revealed and published for the American people to digest, so they can actually see just how evil and corrupt and demonic and power hungry this deep state is, because that's the real threat. President Trump's exactly right. That is the biggest threat to our constitutional republic. And this just personifies how bad our educational system is, because people that are taught civics and American history and American values and know about our form of government would never embrace this garbage.
Yeah. I completely agree. Charles, I appreciate the call. Great stuff, my friend. You hit it right on the head of the nail there. I mean, you're right. It is a reform they're trying to do. The lack of civics understanding, the education system that's been broken, the young generation that doesn't care about the governmental system. They just want whatever they want to make themselves feel better. And to think, I mean, look, do a little project. Take your kids and do a project here. Google the definition of socialism. And then if you have it, which I'm sure some of us do, I have one right here in the studio with me, an old school like 1940s or 1950s Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and look up the definition of socialism. See how it's changed. See the difference. Because the old school shows that government controls the distribution of means and goods and services. The new Google definition says the people regulate and control. Which I don't know how that's possible. I mean, Dylan, I don't know. Are we going to get some kind of like mail-in vote every time that a company wants to change how they distribute services or how they actually make goods or make a business decision? Are everybody going to vote on that because we the people? No, of course not. That's not going to happen. But they've changed the term to make it sound more flavorful, to make it sound a little bit sexier for the young generation. Hey, we're going to have control. We're going to have the ability. Man, that's crazy. I don't have to start my business. I just get to control the other businesses and manufacturing and services and goods and means and production. I get to control it. And we're going to do that through the elected representative, through democratic socialism. I get to democratically choose a socialist to regulate it for me because I feel better about that. That doesn't make any sense. None of it whatsoever. It's pretty crazy. If you missed it, this new platform the Democratic Socialists of America have come out with, or at least officially will come out with, I think, next week, but being leaked and reported right now from Fox News, the updated long-term vision for U.S. policy platform from the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, include eliminating the U.S. Senate altogether. So only a lower chamber of Congress, which, you know, represents the people, election every 2 years. Okay, cool. But eliminating the U.S. Senate altogether, no higher chamber whatsoever. And then replacing the president and the Supreme Court with just an overall executive branch. What does that mean? AKA the deep state. That is every administrative state. That is every administrative building, every agency, every three-letter alphabet soup letter word. That's all of those groups, getting rid of the presidency and only having the bureaucratic state as the executive branch, and then a Supreme Court that they're probably going to stack with 20 judges on there, and both of those branches of government would be subordinate to Congress. Having Congress rule everything, have them only have one type of election they have to worry about, one type of election that they could rig, and that way they could have their socialist movement and then control every other branch of government, which means we'll never get a proper Supreme Court decision because of the bias of the courts that are going to be on there as the activist judges that they want. I mean, they literally came out and said that Donald Trump's choices for the Supreme Court right now are illegitimate. They openly said that we've stacked the court with illegitimate candidates because Donald Trump chose them. Which is kind of crazy because that's the way the system's actually set up right now. I mean, this is dangerous. And like you said, it's completely unconstitutional. There is a pushback. And I want to go to California, which is a weird place to go with the pushback here for just a moment. That Republican or non-affiliated candidate, Spencer Pratt, that ran for Los Angeles, he's been on the tirade on social media calling these people out. And it's been kind of fun to watch.
We will sit down at the table.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Let me try a different one here. I'll have to find it here in just a moment. But he went on the tirade going after these individuals for saying that they are communists and he's going to fight to expose them, which has been really interesting. Let's take a break. I have that clip. Also, as we talk about the lack of representation from the Democrat Party, Graham Plattner now is officially out. And he'll give the official suspension on Monday. He made a video say he will be suspending. But what does that process look like to nominate a new person before the general election in November? We'll cover all that and more right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
All right, welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you today. 901-260-5926. I found my clip I was looking for. Dylan, I have way too many clips here saved for me, and I just couldn't find it. But we have the pushback that's going on right now against the Democratic Socialists of America and Spencer Pratt, who I'm liking more and more. I was a little iffy. I know he was trying to play middle of the road during his race for the mayor of Los Angeles. I get it. That's what you have to do. It's still a very progressive area. But at the same time, like, he's been a rock star calling out the corruption, the shenanigans going on there. And now that he's not running for office, if you don't follow him on social media, you probably need to. He was on there going on a tirade about the communists.
Here's the reality. It's too late for my campaign. A lot of people refuse to accept that, but I can. I told you all to get your ass out and vote. Tell your friends to vote. Vote enough to beat the cheat. We didn't beat it, but that doesn't mean I quit. I don't know how to quit.
He never knew when to quit.
My goal isn't to try and salvage the campaign, just like my advocacy in the wake of the Palisades fire wasn't about my own home. It's too late for me. This is about you. This is about the next one. It's about exposing this corrupt rigged system and changing it for the next election. If I have to be the kamikaze pilot to finally get this fixed, so be it. There's a right way and a wrong way to do this. The right way isn't easy, but it ends with commie animals in handcuffs. I will restore faith in our elections if it's the last thing I do. And to all you fraudsters out there, we've been watching you, and justice is coming.
Boom. I mean, scorched earth, baby. The commies in handcuffs. That's what did he say? The commie animals in handcuffs. I mean, the dude's on fire now. He's angry. He doesn't like the system. He saw how big the system is to try and beat, and he's pushing back, and he's doing it in the heart of the beast. I mean, you can't get more progressive than Los Angeles. I mean, I grew up in Colorado. You got Boulder, Colorado out there. That's pretty progressive, but even now they're a little more laxadated than what they were. Probably because they are smoking the devil's lettuce so much, they just really don't care about anything else. But California out there, man, that's about as blue as you can get. And Spencer Pratt, kudos on him for pushing back and doing that. So the Democrats are in a bit of a trouble. And this is, again, hint, hint, wink, wink, Republicans, stop self-sabotaging. We have a prime opportunity to do a lot of really great work because Democrats don't have a platform and they're in the middle of a major civil war, which is why they're pushing back. They are trying to change their own process by getting rid of the votes of their own people. You got to remember, this happened, if you remember, a few years ago during the Democrat National Convention and Bernie Sanders almost got the nomination for president. If you remember during that convention, remember when they put the fence around the entire convention center to keep the Bernie Sanders voters out of their own Democrat convention? That started all the way back when. That was, what, 10 years ago? It's been a while. Now we have the forceful removal of Joe Biden to put Kamala Harris in with no voice or vote of the people. Now you have Graham Plattner, where you have these allegations of these sexual allegations where voters didn't care. You got to remember, this is not new information that's making him suspend his campaign. Everybody knew it. There were at least three allegations prior to the primary in Maine, and he still got 82% of the vote in the primary process because Democrats said, you know, he's very vulnerable. He's apologized for it. We got to give him some grace. You know, this is the same people that tried to spend the last 10 years making crap up about Donald Trump to try and destroy him, destroy his business, throw him in prison, and never let him run for political office again. But for Graham Plattner, Mr. Grizzly Bear, Mr. I'm going to be the Papa Bear to give you the socialist programs and fight back against the system and push back against Donald Trump and be the one to reform the system. Like, that's the guy they wanted to give grace on with all the shenanigans and problems that he was having. Now, it came out after the primary, coincidentally, timing perfect here, after the primary, then the more allegations come out, and CNN interviews one of the girls, and all of a sudden he gets pulled from all the endorsements and all the money, and he comes out and says this on social media.
We're not doing it because of the allegations. We're doing it because of the structures that are being taken away from us by those in power.
I mean, look, he's not wrong. He's not wrong on that front. He may be a crazy guy, and he's got a horrible past, and he literally has an SS Nazi tattoo, which coincides with the socialism that he has, because Nazism is socialism, which the Democrats get really, really angry at when you mention that little fact to them. The term Nazism is literally German for the short term of National Socialism. So, you know, you can try and hide and deflect all you want to, but that's the reality of the situation. But the Democrat Party's trying to finally push back and realize that they've allowed the inmates to start running the system here, and they're trying to change that, and now they forced them out. So what are they going to do? They're going to force a convention of delegates in the state to choose their next candidate with no vote of the people. And I find that kind of hilarious and ironic. Hour number one in the books, man. We got lots more to get to. It's the Todd Sterns radio program. Stay here.
Live From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
What is up, my friends? Welcome into it. It is hour number two of the Todd Starnes radio program, and it is so wonderful to have you with us. Todd Starnes is out for today. Back at it before you know it. Yours truly, Andy Hoosier, sitting in behind the microphone for the Todd Starnes radio show today. Moving those Liberty University studios out from Memphis, Tennessee, all the way over here to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship station, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM, and a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio show is where we're hanging out today, and I want to hear from you. There's a lot to talk about and a lot to get to. The shenanigans, the civil war going on from the other side of the aisle, the Democrats' internal battle with the Democratic Socialists of America. Where are they standing? And how are Democrats handling that situation? 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Bottom of the hour, we have Joe Messina on the program. We'll chat about the latest coming out of Washington, D.C. And next week, with Congress reconvening officially, like I know they have some committee hearings and things going on right now, but actually back on the floor addressing issues, Reconciliation Bill 3.0, Iran issues, and a heck of a lot more. What does that look like? Especially for Republicans who are trying to generate some excitement going into midterm season for 2026. Speaking of, by the way, I know there are a lot of internal battles right now with the Democrats and with this Democratic Socialists of America movement. Dylan, did you know that apparently we have Ilhan Omar that has gone from a net value of $30 million to now a net loss of $100,000?
Oh,
yeah,
how did that happen?
That's a great question. Your question is as good as anybody else's. And on that one, so she was caught in the hallways of Congress where they were asked about that and said this.
Since your net worth dropped on the new forms, the new financial disclosure forms, could you tell us if your husband still has the consulting business and the wine business?
Ignoring him, by the way, just walking down the hallway like he's not even there.
I remember you were saying it was an accounting error before, but the new forms are even lower in terms of the net worth. Does he still have those companies, the business?
Nothing.
Consulting business and the wine business?
Just completely ignoring. Is that the wind? What is that?
Anything you can say on that, Congresswoman?
Yeah, so we got a whole lot of nothing burgers on that one. But if you remember, she originally filed her taxes showing that her and her husband had multiple different businesses, including, by the way, a winery and a wine company where they've never sold a bottle of wine, but somehow was net valued at $30 million. She said it was some type of paperwork error, financial error, something, technical error. They redid it. And then it went down to saying that she now has a value of roughly $100,000. Then they redid it again, apparently, because of a quote-unquote accounting error, and say that their net profits and net worth are roughly $18,000, but including all the debt they have, is now close to negative $100,000. Man, I mean, that must be a pretty wild operating and accounting error. If you go from $30 million net positive to $100,000 net negative, that's a pretty drastic operating error, but busted. What can we say? So it'll be interesting to see what kind of criminal charges come up on there. Do you think anything's going to come up? I don't play a lot, but, you know, hey, come on. Man, it's going to be interesting to see. All right, 901-260-5926. I want to give you an update on Iran. There is some updates as President Trump says that we're apparently now back in negotiations. The post on social media roughly just about an hour ago shows that President Trump today has said the United States has agreed to resume talks with Iran, but reiterated the ceasefire is not over. So we're going to keep bombing each other, but we're going to go back into talks. That, according to the statement saying that the Islamic Republic of Iran has asked us to continue talks. Well, of course they are. We just bombed the heck out of them. We said that we were done. They were attacking with drones and whatever else they had. They were attacking ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. And we were like, hey, that broke the Memorandum of Understanding. So the Memorandum of Understanding is done. And therefore, we're just going to attack you again. And just like they typically do. No. We want to talk. Hold on here. Because they dragged this out. And they drag it out, and they tease, and they taunt, and they never abide by an agreement, and they feel like they can do whatever they want to, and then when they feel a little bit of pressure, they're like, okay, no, we'll talk, and they see if we stop, and then they just keep doing what they're doing. Look, I know Todd's called this, we've called this. At what point do we finally say enough is enough? At what point do we finally say we're just not going to listen to them anymore? we're not going to negotiate with a group of a terror, one of the few last terrorist organizations, government sanctioned terrorist organizations in the Middle East, because we've been de-radicalizing the area, which has been really exciting, but they don't follow anything. They've never followed any of the Iranian deals from Obama, even from Trump before. They've done none of it. They just do whatever they want to do. And they drag it out thinking that once they say they want to talk, then we'll calm down. At what point do we finally say enough is enough? J.D. Vance giving us an update on that yesterday, by the way.
We will sit down at the table and negotiate and see if the smart people in that system can take over from the crazy people. Well, here's the basic deal that we cut. The basic deal that we cut was, we'll lift our blockade if you stop shooting at ships. But if you shoot at ships, we are going to punch back, and we're going to punch back harder than ever before. That was the deal. They said they would stop shooting at ships. And what happened 24 hours ago? They started shooting at ships again. Now, they were good. They were well-behaved for about a week. But then they started shooting at ships. So the deal is very simple. If they shoot at ships, we're going to knock the hell out of them. And it's that simple. And that's the basic way it's going to work.
All right. So that's the basic way it's going to work. I'm just waiting to see what it's going to look like moving forward. Because you don't negotiate with terrorists. And you don't negotiate with a nation that continues to just drag it down the street. Now, here's the question for you is, what's the end result look like? I mean, ideally, I've been saying for a while that it won't end until we actually see a regime change. But are we the ones to necessarily do the regime change? I don't want to see that. That's why many people that have fought against the quote-unquote military-industrial complex, or fought against the long-term wars and fought against the operations from the CIA of doing regime changes around the world for a very long time, we don't want that type of interference. We like the America First agenda, and Iran was a threat. Iran did have nuclear ambitions. They did have the ability to build nuclear weapons. We could not allow them to do that. I get why we did it, but what's the end result? What do we look at the end of the deal to say, finally, we can go on the ship, just like George Bush did, irresponsibly, by the way, might I add, with the big mission accomplished sign on the ship and said, hey, we did it, and then we went on for another 20 years. That's not the way we want to do it. That's not the way that it should be done. We need to find a way to say this is done, and we can pat ourselves on the back and say it's over. What does that look like? To me, at least, the only way that looks like is when the Iranian Islamist regime is over. You got to remember, until the 1970s, when the Islamic Republic actually took over the nation of Iran, Iran was not a Muslim country. Iran was not a Islamist nation at all. They were Aryan. They were Arabian. They were not Muslim at all. That wasn't even the dominant religion, and still not the dominant religion in that region, even though they've tried to forcefully convert people into it in that region in Iran. That's not the way the nation was. So what you need to do is the Persian people, the original folk there in Iran, need to have the ability to topple their own government and take that power back. And that leans on us to cripple the Islamic government enough to where the Persian people can do that. Because I don't want a regime change from us. I don't want to forcefully change somebody else in there and not have it reflect the people, because it's never stable. It never works. We've tried that time and time and time again. You got to let them do it, but you got to give them the capability to do that, to where, just like when they tried to protest a few months ago and rise up against the government ended up killing like 40,000 of them. You can't allow that to happen, and you have to cripple the government enough to allow them to actually take back their government, to at least. And I don't know how that's done. I'm not a military person. I'm not a military expert. I'm not a diplomat to be able to look boots on the ground to see how that happens. I don't know, but ideologically, to me at least, that's the only way it happens. Your thoughts on that? Do you agree with that? 901-260-5926. I don't know until then if there is going to be any movement again with any type of agreement. And let's be honest, Iran had a sweet deal here. They had the primo golden opportunity to really take their nation to the next level. Part of that memorandum of understanding, which was just the beginning of the negotiation peace talks moving forward, but that memorandum allowed them to have investment of near $300 million and billions of dollars in other investments, not from the U.S., by the way. It's not like Barack Obama sending just pallets of cash over to Iran physically like that and shipping it over to them. It wasn't going to be from us at all. What the memorandum actually allowed was other nations around the region, partners, neighbors for them, Saudi Arabia and other places, to say, hey, we want to invest in infrastructure in your country to better you and to better us. We want to put businesses in your country to where we can actually make some money and you can make some money. They had a sweetheart deal here. to where if all they had to do was play nice with their neighbors around that region, we could de-radicalize, we could stabilize, and we could make the Middle East a really, really cool place. And that didn't happen because these ideologues are still in control. And Donald Trump, I think, finally is beginning to realize that no matter how much you talk to them, they're not going to abide by any type of agreement. They're going to do what they want because they're ideologues. And that's really kind of sad. So we'll see. The headline today says that they're back into talks, but we're not stopping any of the bombings or any of the physical action that's going on over there. And we'll see what they do. And you know what they're going to say? That's, let's say, we'll agree to everything. Whatever you say, we'll just go along with it. We'll calm down the bombing, and then it'll start over again. And the hamster wheel continues. I don't know if I'm okay with that at all. By the way, President Trump did have some fun with some of the media on Air Force One recently, where they were asking him whether he was in danger because of the threats that were made by Iran.
Were you aware of any credible threat by Iran against Air Force One?
I have a threat all the time. I'm number one on their list before you. But if I go, you go. Right?
But was there a specific
perhaps someday you want to change professions. What do you have, Dan?
I love it. Are you in danger? Yeah, I'm in danger. I'm their number one on their hit list. They'd love to get at me, but guess what? I'm on Air Force One, and so are you. So guess what? You're a threat as well, so you might want to change professions. I love it. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Alan in Gainesville, Georgia on WDUN. Alan, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I think I've enjoyed you about as much as I do Todd. That's a big one out there.
Wow. Thank you. Hey, that's a feather in my cap. Thank you, my friend.
I will disagree with you, though, on what we should do
okay.
in Iran. I believe the fact that they will kill thousands if there is an uprising means we have to destroy the Iranian guard. We have to just completely take them out.
Yeah.
And also, I believe that we missed our opportunity when we had them down and didn't continue to bomb and take out those individuals. Maybe if we had taken another 30 people from the top down out, it would have probably had a lot more of an effect as far as discouraging them from what they're doing in the strait. But I think we have to full force. Don't slow down. Don't stop. Just keep hammering them until they're practically gone as far as the Iranian guard. Yeah.
Oh, I agree, and I completely agree with that, because we have to get rid of as much of the guard as possible to allow the people who are unarmed, by the way, right now, and have very little resources, which is why when they tried to uprise, they saw 30, 40,000 people actually die because the guard was just slaughtering them and just killing them like crazy. That you're right, we have to cripple them enough to where we don't physically remove them, but we demolish them enough to where the people can go in and actually do it themselves. And that's what I'm hoping to see here, to actually see a change in that regime. You're right. And I agree with you as well that during 4th of July weekend, for those that don't know, President Trump said, hey, we're going to calm things down. You have time to go and get all of your terrorists that we've blown up. Go and do your burial services. Go and, you know, bury them. Do your thing. Do your ceremonies. We're not going to touch you. You're down and out. You are crippled, and we're going to allow you to take a breath. I think that was a mistake. I think we should have kept at them.
Agreed.
Yeah. Right there with you, my friend Alan. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the compliment. That means a lot. Really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, look, we have an opportunity here, and while for those that say, Andy, we don't want the long-term conflict, we don't want the conflict in Iran at all, this is not helping us in the midterm season, we're seeing gas prices come up. Gas prices are still floating between $70 to $80 a barrel, which means that's kind of the sweet spot for those in the oil and natural gas industry. We're not seeing gas prices go up too terribly much right now, and I think looking long-term, the good news, because I'm always the eternal optimist here, the good news is that the nations around them have recognized the fact that channeling 80% of oil going through one single strait with Iran, probably not the smartest thing to do. We should probably change that. And they're doing it. They're actually building other pipelines. Saudi Arabia is building a different pipeline to go around Saudi Arabia or around the strait to where they can ship out oil and energy to the rest of the world without relying with 80% of those energy resources going through that one tiny little strait that Iran apparently feels like it's going to control. So what we're doing now is we're doing a massive global shift in energy, in how energy is going to be transported and produced and sent around the world, and it's not going to be reliant on Iran. Iran just kind of mess themselves up. In the long term, they no longer are going to have as much of the refining as they what they did back in the day. They're not going to have the control over the Strait, or if they do, the Strait's going to become less relevant in the transportation of oil. So at the end of the day, the threats that were made by Obama, the threats that were made by Bush, the threats that were made by Biden, the threats that were made by other administrations for decades about Iran, either get your stuff in gear or we're going to come and take you out, Donald Trump fulfilled it. Or he's fulfilling it right now as we speak. And in the long term, this is going to be better because they won't have near as much control over the oil industry as what they've had before this. And maybe, hopefully, we can see a change in the regime to where it's going to be one of the last few government-sanctioned radicalized Islamist organizations that will be gone. And we could see a whole different Middle East moving forward. All right, got to take a break. It is the Todd Stearns radio program. Back after this. All right, welcome back to it. It is the Todd Stearns radio program moving through your Friday today. By the way, President Trump talking about that announcement of Iran as he says that we're now back in negotiations, apparently, even though we're going to continue on with the military action that is happening. That, by the way, coming after Congress sent a memorandum, I guess, to him saying, you're not allowed to do that. But he says, we don't really care because this is what we need to do. And even the same Democrats that threatened that we needed to do it for, again, decades are now like, you're not allowed to do it because you're Trump. So there's that. Donald Trump speaking in the Oval Office just a few minutes ago saying this because someone asked, what happens if, God forbid, some type of attack, assassination or something happens to President Donald Trump based on and coming from Iran?
That would be a terrible thing for them to do. Not because of me. If they did that, they would be obliterated. That would be the end. I've left instructions. If they do it, they get obliterated. There won't be anything left.
I mean, but look, I mean, look, the way you talk to these individuals, and that's borderline human in the first place. If you think that, you know, your ideology means that you have to convert people to your thought process or we're going to kill you and make a public scene about that, that's almost subhuman anyways. That's probably like an animal primal level there that we're trying to rid our species of in the first place. But if you do get rid of President Donald Trump, then yeah, I don't know that any other words really describe what would happen to them. And that's probably the only type of language that they actually respond to. And that's why they always come back and be like, we want to talk after we end up blowing the heck out of them and we get rid of more of their infrastructure, which I feel bad for the people, but the people wanted this. If you remember when we first started this conflict, the Iranian people were going crazy. They were so excited. They were thanking Donald Trump. We had more praise and more love for our president of the United States in Iran than we do with half of the people here in the United States with a certain political persuasion here in the United States that we're battling in the midterm season for 2026. And that to me was a real telltale sign. Same thing with Venezuela. I don't necessarily look at the politics and the response from people here. I look more at the response from people that are directly involved and make my judgment based on there. And when they were celebrating it, we know that they've been wanting this for a long time. We just have to give them the ability to finish the deal and do it themselves. We got a lot more to get to. Joe Messina will be on the program right around the corner here for the Todd Stearns radio program on a Friday. Stay here. Welcome back to it, Todd Stearns radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Stearns today. You can find Todd in all of his information, his new book, and so much more at toddstearns.com. I am ready for him to go on his book tour, too, because I cannot wait to, first off, get him back into the Wichita market where I'm based out of, but I can't wait to see the book and read that one. He always has some great content, and he is ready to rock and roll, baby, so he'll be back at it behind the microphone before you know it, and his new book and all his information is right there on his website at toddstearns.com. We have some callers on the line. Don't go anywhere. I will get to you here in just a little bit, but I want to get to our guest here on the show as we cover all the happenings that are going on, the craziness going on in the world. And I have, by the way, not even gotten the chance to talk about the latest in the Charlie Kirk assassination hearings in court. We have some audio clips of that. Apparently, the roommate is testifying where now we have him himself, Tyler Robinson, admitting to it. His parents admitted to it. The roommates admitted to it. The significant other has admitted to it. So what's the problem here? But then you have others that are out there like,
no, he didn't do it. It was Israel.
Okay. Good luck with that. So we'll cover some of that in just a little bit. But I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Really happy to have on here, as he's a regular guest with Todd Starnes, radio show host. He is an author, is a speaker, and so much more. The man himself, Mr. Joe Messina. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Living the dream every day, and it's great to get you on here. What a wild time that we're living in. We just covered some of the new headlines. Did you hear? I'm not sure that now apparently we're back in negotiation with Iran. The bombings are going to keep going, but they want to start talking again. What a coincidence, right?
Yeah. You know what? I love the Donald. I really do. And I agree with about 97% of what he wants to do and how he wants to do. But I think he missed the mark on this one. You were talking about it earlier. Turn that place into the sixth Great Lake, okay? Get it over with. The Iranian people themselves are wonderful people, and let's find a way to help them. But every time you give them a break, whether it's 2 hours, 24 hours, 2 weeks, they're not figuring out a way for peace. They're figuring out a way to take down Air Force One.
Yeah. Do you think Trump's finally starting to realize that when he came out earlier this week and said that now they're scum, that you can never trust them, they don't follow along with anything that we tell them? Do you think he's finally starting to catch on, or did he know that all the time and he was trying to do the proper thing of, hey, we want to talk to them, we don't just want to come in like the warmonger, hungry individuals that we are and blow them up? What was his thought process up to this point, do you think?
I think he's getting bad information again. That's what I think. He got it in his first time around. I think he's getting it again now. You know, they're telling him with the pressure that we can put from the other Arab nations, we can get Iran in line. You can't get Iran in line till you wipe out the regime, get them all gone, oversee it so the people truly have the option to get their own government back in there again. And as far as whether he sees it or not, I'm hoping this time around he's playing their game and saying, yeah, sure, let's talk while we destroy every option you're going to have to come back at us.
Yeah. It's really wild for sure. It's fun to watch how all this plays out. How do you think this impacts the midterm season? Gas prices obviously temporarily high because of the conflict, the strait. I think that's going to balance itself out later on as things adjust. But the ones that said that Donald Trump was the America first, we're not going into long-term conflicts. We don't want to be the neocons anymore. We don't want the military-industrial complex that, by the way, brought over people like Tulsi Gabbard and many other great people that are working with the Trump administration. Does this conflict, and with how long it's been going, does this hinder them from showing up to vote in the midterms this year?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because I was just talking about this. You know, if you look at the people on the street, if you listen to the people on the street, we have done a terrible job at educating our people, young people, older people. Our education system has failed them, so they don't really understand what's going on here. As far as the war, I love how we call it, the war in Iran goes, we are freeing a people that have been oppressed.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing what we've done for decades, where we've gone into countries, asked in most cases, we've gone into these countries, we helped them liberate them and help them get the government they want. Yeah, in some cases, I'm not stupid, we put our noses in where it doesn't belong. But I'm not so sure that the people of this country have the stomach for these fights, understand what we have to go through.
Yeah.
Not just to free others, but you said it earlier, where's the oil coming from? You know, can you imagine what it would be like if we had to depend on the Iranians and the Argentinians for our oil?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a whole different situation for sure. And the fact that, you know, there's a generation now that never went through 9/11. I mean, I'm a millennial. I was still a kid at that time. But at the same time, there's a generation now, unfortunately, in their 20s, that's like, oh, you know, why would we have to fight wars abroad instead of here on the home front? Like, they don't understand that there is still that threat. And I get it. I don't like the warmongerism either. I like the America First agenda. I don't like being in long-term conflicts. But every administration has admitted there's been a problem with Iran for a very long time. Trump's the one that actually dealt with it. And like I said, I just want the people to actually, you know, take it back and get rid of the radicalism. Because, Joe, we have an opportunity here. We have the Middle East, where Saudi Arabia and Turkey and so many of these other nations are becoming de-radicalized. The non-radical Muslim Brotherhood Islamists are actually running things now. And we could actually have a way different Middle East once this is actually gone.
Totally agree with you. And you know what? Yeah, I went to a Memorial Day service, and we were discussing, there was a 103-year-old Army person there, an Army, I don't know what position he had, but one of the things he brought up that hit me hard was, We had people from World War II. We had people for wars in our living rooms. I don't know how old you are, but I'm on my mid-60s. And we heard the stories of the people they saw. My family were liberated by the Americans out of Italy. So we had these stories of oppression. We understood what it meant. This younger generation today, they don't have those stories. They've been taught for what, the last 15, 20, maybe even longer years, that we are the oppressors. We are the occupiers every place we go. And our friends like the Israelis, the Jews, they're occupiers right along with us. They're not getting the truth. So they really don't understand what real oppression is. They don't know how to fight it.
Yeah, I was on the tail end of that. I'm 38, so the education system was still halfway decent when I left, and we were having the conversations. We were at least having the dialogue and the debate, at least where I was in my public school, back and forth and realizing that. But yeah, it really drastically changed afterwards, and that's why I walked out of the four-year university after about, I don't know, a year and a half, because I was like, yeah, I'm not getting anything worth value here whatsoever. But that leads to, by the way, we're talking with Joe Messina here. You can find him on his social media at Joe Messina. It leads to what we're seeing with the revolution internally here on the domestic front with the Democratic Party and the push for the, quote, Democratic Socialists of America. I don't know if you've seen this new platform that they're set to release officially next week. Their plan for long-term U.S. policy: eliminate the U.S. Senate completely, remove the presidency, and have the Supreme Court and the fourth branch of government or the executive branch be subordinate to Congress. I don't even know how to say that without laughing. That's the plan of the Democratic Socialists of America as their official platform while they take over the Democrat Party.
Well, the thing I like the most about it, let's eliminate the Senate, right?
They're just gone.
No. But we know what they're doing. And it goes back to education, too, where people haven't been taught how government operates, haven't been taught what their rights are, and they really don't know. We screwed up the Senate, right? I think was it the 17th Amendment?
Yeah.
The amendment which now all of a sudden the people vote in the Senate, when it used to be the Senate was the two senators were appointed by their legislature to make sure that they were doing what they needed them to do for the state. Now they do what they perceive people want them to do, or whoever's paying them, supporting their campaign. Yeah, I think that people need to rise up. I think that people need to, not violently, don't get me wrong, but when you see these people coming into your town, you need to make sure you call them out on everything that they do, the things that they want to do. Show that in their cities, you know, look at, how is Chicago doing? How's New York doing right now? D.C.'s about ready to get kicked in the backside. You see what's happening out in, you know, on the West Coast. I don't know what it's going to take to wake these people up.
No, I really don't. We like to use the example of, if you want socialism, go to a Native American reservation. I mean, I live in Kansas. We have Kansas, Oklahoma, Northern Texas. I mean, there are tons of Native American tribes and reservations around here. If you want to see the alcoholism and the crime and the lack of opportunity and the lack of health care and all the horrible, atrocious things that are going on, go to a Native American reservation and see how well socialism works out when the government has to pour in food and give you the health care and give you the education and see how well that works out for you. For sure, which is crazy. That leads to the conversation of, where do you think, Joe, the conversation needs to be for Republicans in a midterm season of 2026? What should they focus on? Should it be about codifying the Trump agenda to say, look at what we've done? Should it be about now, apparently, after the decision from the Supreme Court on the 14th Amendment with birthright citizenship, now we're calling it birth tourism, where we try to address that when we come back? What needs to be the focus to try and rally and energize the Republican base before November?
Yeah, you know, I said when we first got in, you know, 2 years ago, I said, look, I'm not excited because we have the same Republicans that we've had before with a couple of new faces. Let's see what they do. Johnson got in there, got every Christian in the planet, and I'm a Christian, excited. Okay, this guy's going to pray. He's going to get things done. He should have been putting a bill forward every time President Trump signed an EO to support what he was doing. Show what the Democrats truly were all about and what they were doing. Then they put Thune in. I just see this continual losing path that we keep going down. What they need to do is they need to start pushing this stuff through now. Make it so uncomfortable for the Democrats to have to defend their decisions, because their only platform, you're in this like I am, every single day we're looking at the news, their only platform is, we have to defeat Trump. We have to stop Trump. We have to make Trump stop making it. they got Trump tattooed on the back of their eyelids. They can't talk about anything else. Yeah.
And Republicans are we are our own worst enemy. I mean, we have the prime opportunity. Yeah. Democrats are in a civil war. Like you said, there's zero platform for them except anti-Trump. We have a golden opportunity to codify the Trump agenda, to rail our agenda down their throat and make you say thank you and we want more. I mean, we have that opportunity and we're not doing it. Instead, yep. we're worried about these rhinos, these people that continue to fight Trump in our own party right now. And then we have the MIA McConnell, where they're more scared about losing that seat with a possibly pro-Trump individual in that seat because, you know, he's sitting in a hospital for the past month.
Yeah, with tubes in him. Look, I'm not going to wish the guy bad, but you know what? They said he's brain dead, and he has not been able, he hasn't been part of this world for a long time. And, you know, God bless these guys. They've done their work. Go be with your grandchildren. Go let the younger people in there to be able to fight the fight that you can't do anymore. Yeah. You know, God bless you for what you've done, but move on. Get rid of the Pelosi's, the Schumer's, the McConnell's, all of them.
Yeah, I completely agree. Last question for you, Joe, and I appreciate your time, my friend. If the election were held right now, how optimistic are you that we can hold Congress, that we can hold the House and we can hold the Senate, keep these Democrats at bay while they go through whatever transition that they're going through? They're confused with their own identity right now, apparently, for the Democrat Party. But if the election were held today, how optimistic are you that we can actually maintain what we're doing?
I think we squeak by them both. And I think their message to even do that, the message has to be what you said. Look at what we've accomplished. Look what we've done. Stop beating on the Democrats. Stop beating on the other people. This is what we've done, even though so-and-so has tried to stop us or the other party has not really helped us move forward. But you don't harp on that. You harp on what we've been able to do.
Yeah, I love it. JoeMessina.com. Go and check him out on his social media at Joe Messina as well. Joe, great to talk to you, my friend. We got to do it again soon.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You as well. Appreciate it very much. Love that. Joe Messina, radio show host and author and speaker and so much more here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline for the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Let's take a break. When we come back, open lines to you. We got some calls waiting. We'll get to you as soon as we come back here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, welcome back to it. We've got a segment left here wrapping this hour up of the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Andy Hoosier sitting in, 901-260-5926. Appreciate Joe Messina coming on. Great conversation with him. But the lines are lit up across the board, my friend, so I want to get to you. And let's go right to it. Let's go to German Shepherd in Ohio, listening on KWAM's app right now. German, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. Thanks for stepping in for Todd. I'd just like to shout out to Todd Gisaloo. We miss him. Hope he comes back. But you're a great substitute. We thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
I'm heading home for the weekend. I got the double nickel mile marker in my back pocket out here in the Buckeye. I'm the 35, and I just
we're at Ohio.
Right now, I'm coming through Jackson, Ohio on 35.
I love 35. It. So I grew up near Toledo when I went to Bowling Green State University.
Yes, sir. I go up there and load plastic all the time and bring it down to Eastern North Carolina.
You betcha. Fellow Buckeye here as well. What's on your mind, German?
You were talking about how the Persians, you know, and how they feel about the bombing and what Trump is doing. And my son-in-law is Persian. He's not Iranian. I got corrected the hard way. They don't identify as Iranian. They identify as Persian.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spent the week up there. His grandparents are here. They don't speak a lick of English. And they love Donald Trump because they took out the Ayatollah. And they don't believe that the body's inside of that casket. They believe that it's all propaganda. And they're hoping, and there's a fine line between bombing them into oblivion because they still have family members that live there. And they do have some internet, but not much. It's mostly outgoing. And the news channels they watch that are in Farsi that come out of Britain are not the BBC, but there is videos coming out in their news channels they watch of massacres that have happened in the past. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, my son-in-law, he's a great patriot defending our Constitution as we speak. And they're a great people, and we can't confuse them with the Muslim extremists.
Yeah, amen to that. And I don't think enough people know that, and I really appreciate that, which is what we've tried to reiterate, is the fact that you're right. I mean, originally, they're Persian. If people don't know what the Persians are, I mean, go back and watch the movie 300. They did their major expansion, which was the fall of Greece back in the time, you know, 1,000 years ago or whenever it was. So, I mean, you're right. They're very proud people, and they don't identify as Iranian. They identify as Persian. They are the natural, original people in that land. And in my opinion, they're the ones that need to take that government back, and we got to give them that opportunity.
Yes, sir, because it's like when we took our country from Britain, we had to do it ourselves, and they got to do it themselves. We can't do it for them like we tried to do in Iraq. It ain't going to work.
That's exactly it. Amen to that. German, well, tell your son thank you for his service and what you do, and thank you for the call, my friend. I appreciate that, and great information. You're right. The battle continues, and we got to let the people of Iran, a.k.a. the Persians, actually take that area back and actually control things again. Let's sneak in another phone call here, shall we? Let's go to Gary down in Daytona Beach, Florida on WOCA. Gary, how are you, my friend?
Doing fine. Thanks again for stepping in.
Thank you.
I just switched the tone here to the I like to call it the Tyler Robinson hearings, because it's been 300 days and it's really not a trial yet. The judge has determined that he's in the hearing phase of listening to the evidence that they've collected. And I got thinking about that. And these two law firms, it seems like Luigi Mangione, we hear about hearings, even though we pretty much got to watch him assassinate the CEO and then go on the run, and they picked him up with a manifesto and a weapon. He's in the hearing phase also. I mean, it's really crazy. And I heard a commentator say, well, the reason why the judge is going so slow, it's a possible death penalty case. And then I looked up, and there's five other death penalty cases on the docket in Utah. I know that's not many. Here in Florida, we have 25 currently on the docket. But I wonder if those defendants are on their 300th day and just having hearings.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting situation for sure. And Gary, I hate to cut you off. We're about ready to take our hard break here, but you're right. They're in that preliminary stage right now. They're getting all the evidence out, a lot of it being public, which is really good for us, but it took a very long time to get to this point. So we'll keep you posted on that. We have some audio. We'll cover it in the next hour, Gary, but we appreciate that call very much. Dave, others, you got to on the line. Hang on there. We'll be back here right around the corner for the Todd Starnes radio program.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
What is up, America? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd is out for the day. He will be back at it before you know it, but don't worry. Have no fear. We're here. We're still doing our thing. We're keeping you entertained for a Friday, getting you set for the weekend. Pat yourself on the back. You scream, I scream, we all scream for ice cream. That's a great transition into our next guest here in just a moment. But it is a Friday here on the Todd Starnes radio program. My name is Andy Hoosier. I am sitting in moving those Liberty University studios from Memphis, Tennessee, all the way out to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship radio station, Wichita's Big Talker KQAM, and a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio show. There is plenty to get to, and we've had a lot of callers, so give us a call on the program. We want to hear from you at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, and we will get to you. I do want to cover some of the preliminary hearings of the Tyler Robinson hearings, the Charlie Kirk assassination, so we will get to that in just a little bit. Also, did Democrats accidentally leak out their true plans for immigration, which we've already kind of known it, but did they openly admit it during a Senate hearing earlier this week? We'll cover some of that in just a moment as well. Bottom of the hour, we have Emmanuel McKinney on the program. If you have not been following the death of Nolan Wells down in Mississippi in the Gulf of America, they're trying to turn that into a racist thing as he went out on a boat with a bunch of his white friends, and apparently now it's being considered a hate crime or something, and there's a lot of threats going on with the judge looking at the case. And a lot of craziness going on with the hate crime and racism with the radicals that are down there. We're going to talk with Emmanuel McKinney, who knew Nolan Wells, and what's going on with the latest in that situation. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. But right now, it is National Ice Cream Month. And the only reason I know that is because I remember in 2024 when Joe Biden dropped out officially of the presidential race on National Ice Cream Day. Coincidence? I think not. But this year, for National Ice Cream Month, there is a project going on called the I Pledge Project, allowing children and young individuals to recite the Pledge of Allegiance and get free ice cream. That's freaking awesome. And as we talk about trying to corrupt the young generation with what the progressives have done across the nation and not learning the Pledge of Allegiance, not learning proper civics, I think it's a great way to get them engaged, especially for America's 250th birthday, as that celebration continues. And to have on the line to talk about some of that and more, he is with Leopold Ice Cream. Really happy to have on Mr. Stratton Leopold. Stratton, how are you, my friend?
Pleasure. I'm fine. How about you, Andy?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Todd Starnes program. And first off, thank you for what you're doing with this. Where did you come up with an idea for the I Pledge Project? Because this is fantastic.
An educator gave us the idea 16 years ago. And my first thought was, yeah, let's do it. Because my dad served in World War I, so we've always been involved with military, with it. So I said, let's do it. And she said that civics was not being taught as much, so we decided then, 16 years ago, to form the I Pledge Project. And what we did after the first year, I was inflamed with the idea of it going nationally. So we created a website called ipledgeforicecream.com. And on the website is all of our promotional material, everything we have with our name off of it. All we want is for other shops across the country to do it. That's all we want. It's for kids. Yeah. And, I mean, we choose to do it every Monday during July, which you're quite correct, is National Ice Cream Month, which President Reagan said many years ago. Anyway, we choose to do it every Monday afternoon. And this past Monday, we had 123 kids here. So we were just so excited about it. We were in the up. Over 40 represented over 40 states. That fluxes back and forth. We want all 50. So, wow. Anybody out there, ice cream shop, go ipledgeforicecream.com. It explains everything. And all we want you to do is do it.
I love that. ipledgeforicecream.com. That is such a great movement. And the fact that you had over 100 kids in there in just one Monday night, that shows that not only do kids like free ice cream, which is pretty amazing, but it sounds like they're hungry for the civics. If they could recite the Pledge of Allegiance, even subliminally, if they're not there particularly for that issue to learn about it, subconsciously to have that memorized, to learn about it, that's a seed that's being planted for them moving forward, isn't it?
I would think so. Several years ago, one kid recited it in Latin. We didn't know what the heck he was saying. We realized it's in Latin. So I think we gave him two ice cream cones. I can't recall.
Yeah, that takes another level there. You got to give him some bonus points on that one.
Oh, sure.
How many different have you heard from other ice cream shops around the country that have joined in on this program?
Sure. Yeah, because once they log on, we ask them. We try to create a master list just so if people ask us where in their state they can find it, we try to create a master list.
Wow. That's really incredible. I love that. Yeah, I remember, and I've talked to my daughter's 12. We live in Kansas here. She's going into the seventh grade, and they still do recite the Pledge of Allegiance, which makes me very happy. I asked her one day, I said, do you know it? And she kind of looked at me and rolled her eyes. She goes, oh, yeah, we say it every morning. I said, okay, good. But there are a lot of schools that don't do it. And even to another level, my eighth grade year is what got me involved in government and history and civics, because we learned about the stripes on the flag and how to properly fold a flag and how to properly display a flag. Stratton, I don't know that we do that kind of stuff anymore either, do we?
I don't think we do. I went to a military school, so I learned all of that, but I don't think so. I mean, it's a shame that civics is really not being looked at as much as it should be.
Yeah, that's really incredible. God bless you. How long have you guys been doing this project?
16 years.
Wow. And still going strong with it.
Still going strong. It'll continue.
It'll continue on. iPledgeForIceCream.com is the website, and you can find all the lists. You can find all the information. And by the way, Leopold Ice Cream, I did see your website as well. Apparently, you ship ice cream, so I know what I'm doing this weekend, and I appreciate the heads up on that one, too.
No, we do ship nationally. And I mean, it's in dry ice, and it gets there within one or two days, no problem. We've even shipped to Hawaii, to Alaska as well.
I love that. That's incredible. iPledgeForIceCream.com. Get your kids civically engaged, and this is a great way to do it. Get them excited about the ice cream. And yes, I think that we need to celebrate Ice Cream Month, and especially on National Ice Cream Day, the official day that Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race of 2024. I think that is the day to celebrate, is it not?
I think National Ice Cream Day always is. I mean, after all, it's ice cream, for goodness sake.
It's ice cream. Go and enjoy it. Stratton, we appreciate you jumping on here on the Todd Stearns radio program. Keep up the fight. Thank you for what you're doing, my friend.
Thank you.
Hey, we love that. Stratton Leopold, iPledgeForIceCream.com. Go and check out the website. That is really cool. I love the fact that they're doing that and the fact that they're getting that kind of response. I mean, that shows that there's a hunger for it, not just a hunger for ice cream, but a hunger for that civics. Public education, listen up. There's going to be a major transition right now, and as we're repealing things like the 1619 Project and we're getting rid of some of this DEI and wokeness in the public education system, this is the prime opportunity to do so. All right, let's take an early break here for a moment. We have some calls that are lining up. I want to get to you, and I want to play some of these hearings that we have from the Tyler Robinson hearings, the Charlie Kirk assassination, and more. We'll do that as we move through your Friday, setting the tone for your upcoming weekend right here on the Todd Stearns radio program. Stay here. Welcome back to it, Todd Stearns radio program, moving through your Friday here, 901-260-5926. Thanks again to Stratton on the program. iPledgeForIceCream.com was that website. I love that. I love that movement so much. I cannot wait to try and help promote that and get my kiddo, who's 12. My radio show is called The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. My daughter is called Little Voice of Reason. My wife is called Mrs. Voice of Reason. So Little Voice of Reason is going to be getting some ice cream if she can recite the Pledge of Allegiance. But I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to ask her to recite, I don't know, the Declaration of Independence. Is that a good idea? Do you think she's got that memorized? You need to recite the entire Declaration for America's 250th birthday, and I might get you a scoop of ice cream. See, we hold ourselves to a higher standard here on the program. All right, let's go to the phones. The lines are lighting up. Let's go to Lane in North Carolina on WTKF. Lane, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
I just have an observation. I know in the past, you know, we criticized the Democrats so much, in basically pointing at them and saying, hey, we're better than that. But my observation is I recently queried Trump's accomplishments, and what came up was in the National Archives, 57 pages of accomplishments, and they were not stories. Yeah. They were one-liners. 57 pages of one-liners. And, you know, and there was a caveat at the end said that this was through January of 2021. So we're not even talking the current administration. So I feel that I think all we have to do to win during our campaigns is to keep pushing, get a consolidated effort by the Republicans going up for elections to say similar stories or, you know, different accomplishments, plus add on all of the positive clips we've got from the foreigners during the soccer tournament, because they're a disinterested party, as far, you know, they're not a party affiliated, and they're just sending a great, great message about the United States and what where we currently are. So that's
No, it's a great point. They're the outsiders looking in. Look, if we run a positive campaign, we win every time. Go back to the second election of Ronald Reagan. He didn't have to go negative, right? And he won, what, 47, 48, 49 states. I mean, it was a complete washout for Ronald Reagan. And all he did was run a positive campaign of, look how beautiful and great America is. We've been saying Donald Trump, whether people like the agenda or not, Donald Trump has been the most productive administration in modern American history. The number of executive actions, the things that he's been able to change on so many different issues, it's really changed the dynamic of politics. which is why I'm a little bit critical of the Republican Party right now with them maybe trying to address the 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship, and what they're calling the birth tourism. We know we don't have the votes to put a constitutional amendment out there right now. Don't talk about it. Say that we're going to address it. We want to address it, but we need the votes to make that happen. But focus on the positive. What we're doing, the greatness of this nation, especially for America's 250th birthday, and as you mentioned, Lane, that all the foreigners that have come here, where they got the bad publicity for years about how terrible America was, and they came here, and the social media trends have been off the hook with people loving what we have to offer here in the United States. Talk about the positive. Let the Democrats, fester in their anger and their hatred and their anti-Trump rhetoric, and let them fight amongst themselves with their civil war, and let's run a positive campaign. And I think it would be a washout, wouldn't it?
Yes, and I think one of the biggest things, and most recently, how can you argue about these young kids' accounts? How can you argue with that for our country?
Exactly. Yeah, we have a different narrative. You don't have to have the filter through media to tell you what's going on in the world. You can go directly to people on social media as influencers that are saying, look, we got on a bus, we drove into Texas, and look at this. There's a bunch of cowboys on horseback welcoming us into Texas for the FIFA soccer tournaments, riding with their cowboy hats and American flags saying, welcome to Texas. What is going on right now? It's really cool. Lane, we appreciate the phone call very much, my friend. Great point.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. You as well. Yeah, the state of the Republican Party, I think, can be strong, but we always seem to be the ones getting in our own way, which is really frustrating at times. Let's go to Patty down in Statesville, North Carolina, on WSIC. Patty, how are you today?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Andy.
Likewise. Thank you.
I want to say something about the planner guy. or anybody. And you know what? Bernie Sanders can never become president. Bernie Sanders, the only thing he could ever do is be in the Senate, because he would never be anything else, just like Hillary is never going to be president. So what they do is they get these people and they prime them up, these people that are losers, like Planter. Planter, I cannot believe he was like, remember, raising hands, democracy, there were women behind him.
Yeah.
It was total, he was a disgrace. And they knew it. But you know what? Bernie Sanders would put Charles Manson or Ted Bundy in there just to fill a seat up.
They don't care. Look, this is the party that has gone 10 years now trying to find everything they could and uncover every anthill to try and demonize and destroy and character destroy Donald Trump because they could. And then, like you said, the Democrats then turned around with Graham Platner and said, we know he has sexual allegations. We know that for the past 16, 17, 18 years, he's had a Nazi tattoo that he was proud about, according to all the testimony from his girlfriend, his prior wives, and everybody else. They were happy about it. And they're like, well, he's apologized for it. He's the grizzly bear man. He's going to be the new face of this. He's the single alpha male, and I say that in air quotes, the single alpha male in the Democrat Party right now that's going to fight for democracy and fight against Donald Trump. They didn't care, and that's why he still won with an 82% vote in the primaries in Maine.
Yeah, and that blows my mind, because he was still losing to Susan Collins. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's why they get rid of him. If he was beating Susan Collins, they would have kept him still in there.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it was very interesting how the timing came out on this one, because, like I said, we knew the allegations before, but why they dropped the bombshell after the primary and brought out the victim to go on interview with CNN after the primary and then forcefully remove him, the timing of it was really interesting. And he did say it right when he made his video yesterday saying that he was going to suspend his campaign. And he said this.
We're not doing it because of the allegations. We're doing it because of the structures that are being taken away from us by those in power.
All right. So while he still denies the allegations, he still doesn't care about the allegations, but says now he's a victim because the establishment has booted him out, which to a degree is right, but they realize the writing on the wall that you can't have this guy in there, even though progressives really just don't care at all. Patty, thank you for the call, my friend. I appreciate that.
It's
you as well, my friend. Yeah, I appreciate that. Have a great weekend. It's wild to watch them. And look, I think this is the DNC that's pushing back on the whole Democratic Socialists of America, realizing that they are a wrench in their system, that they are a liability within their party, and they're trying to push back. But look, you've allowed the inmates to start running the camp anyways for the longest time by allowing them in the party in the first place, and now look at what you have. These guys are crazy. The full, by the way, statement that Graham Plattner did have, he did make his video. The official announcement will be on Monday, the deadline for him to step down. The state of Maine now holding a Democrat convention, essentially. 500 delegates from around the state going to reconvene. And I know there's at least four candidates that are going to be running for the place. All of them, by the way, trailing Susan Collins. So a good choice for Republicans. Not that we're a big fan of Susan Collins, but I'd rather have her than someone like this running that state. That they're now going to have a convention with 500 delegates. Imagine, again, just like with Joe Biden, that they have now taken the voice away from the Democrat voters who didn't care about all his liability, wanted him in there, and now they threw this in. It could have been avoided. Again, they knew about the allegations prior to the primary, but this is the party saying, no, we can't have this. So they booted him out and now taking the voice away from the Democrat voters. Again, if you're a Democrat voter, do you feel confident with your system? Do you feel good about what the party does to you, taking your voice away? I mean, I would love to see you self-sabotage and go crazy socialist because it's not going to work, but do you feel better about that? Even the presidential primary process, when they do actually allow the votes to happen to choose your presidential nominee, do you know how that system works? You have delegates, and then you have superdelegates in the Democrat Party. Who are the superdelegates? The superdelegates in their primary process for the presidency nationwide are the elected officials. The establishment, the deep state, that gets to have a voice, and in many states, those superdelegate votes are equal to the regular delegates, meaning the establishment elected officials in the Democrat Party get to choose the presidential nominee just as much as their quote-unquote voters and constituents that they supposedly represent. They have a really whacked-out system. They have never had proper representation of their Democrat voters in their process. And Republicans, we don't do that. We have a completely different system, but man, really crazy to watch. All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears. We'll talk about some of the hate speech, the identity politics going on as we talk with Emmanuel McKinney right around the corner here for the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, welcome back to it. Todd Starnes Radio Program, moving through your Friday episode today, 901-260-5926. I still want to take your phone calls. We have plenty more to cover. A lot of things going on right now. Washington, D.C., always hopping, even with the Trump administration and Congress not in session. But, man, Trump does not let things slow down at all, which is always fun and entertaining for sure. All right, I want to shift gears here. There has been a story that's been lingering out there of an investigation of a death that happened last week during the 4th of July celebration. And like usual, it always has to come down to racism and, you know, victimhood status and whatever else, which race always seems to be the case. Did you see, by the way, that Jasmine Crockett was out talking about her race, and while she's endorsing some lower candidates down in the state of Texas because she's on the way out, thank goodness, that she said that her entire election was based on racism. That was pretty wild.
Well, for me, I am going to be working everywhere. The best thing that I can do for James Tallarico isn't me standing on a stage with him. It is the fact that I endorse five candidates in the runoff who all happen to be black men in the state of Texas, and every single one of them won, and they're going on to November, meaning that they will pull out more black people to vote. People keep trying to say, well, Jasmine has to go and hold his hand. No, I don't. And don't worry about my math and how it works in my mind. Because the reality is that if you can give people more than one thing to vote for, then you have a better chance of getting them out to the polls. And honestly, some people just not going to be sold on certain people that are running in the state of Texas. So the best thing that I can do is take down ballot candidates who no one's ever heard of and do my best to uplift them and increase the voter participation in a way that we did in Texas. You see, a lot of haters got a lot of things to say about me and my race and how I ran it, but the reality is that there was a lot of racist, not a lot, it was racist. It was a racist race. It is what it is, right?
Wait, what? Hold on a second. You ran a statewide race on the idea of racism, and you're mad that people didn't go along with that kind of mindset. It's pretty wild, but apparently that mindset's still lingering in certain places. I want to go down to Mississippi for just a moment, and right on the Gulf of America, the most patriotic place right now in the United States, with the Gulf of America, and the story of Nolan Wells, who went out on a boat with some friends and did not come back last weekend on 4th of July celebration. And now with the case, apparently it's turning into a pretty wild one, taking it to another level with not only the concerns about all his white friends that supposedly killed him on the boat. I don't know. That's the claim that many are having within the community, and the threats to the judge that's actually overseeing the case. And I've seen some of these internal conversations on social media, the threats that are made. Now, Todd probably gets them. I get them quite a bit as a radio host, because obviously if you're in talk radio, then you're a hate talk radio person. And the comments that I get are pretty insane. But, I mean, this is another level, seeing some of the comments that I have with the judge, Ashley Cole, that is trying to, according to the SunHerald.com, dispel some rumors regarding some of the facts on the investigation into the death of Nolan Xavier Wells. What's going on with this story? And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. I know Todd has been talking about this story, but we do have a guest on the line that actually knew Nolan and what's going on down on the home front. Emmanuel McKinney on the line here. Emmanuel, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm good, man. Hanging in there, man. I'm listening to things unfold just like you are, you know. But it just so happens that I'm at ground zero, you know. And, you know, things like this, man, has been happening for many years when it comes to race baiting being the number one thing that catches everybody's attention as well as everybody's pocketbook. You know, most things that happen here in the South, period. You have out-of-towners who come in and tell the rest of the world and all of these major networks that that's racism. It's racism. And listen, trust me, listen to me. Nobody other than his parents and very, very close friends have more involvement in this story than I do. I also own a barbershop. I also buy and flip properties and houses. So I've done a lot of things. I had two talk radio shows as well. So I'm familiar with how this goes, and I'm going to tell you, I'm the first barber that cut Nolan's hair as a baby. Mm. And I know his mom, been knowing his mom since she was in high school, junior high. I know his stepfather. He was a football player down here at Morris Point, went up to Mississippi State. He was a great athlete. His whole family, his uncles all played pro football and everything. So when it comes to me in relations with Nolan and the family, I'm very close. So you're not going to hear this from, like, no outsider. I'm telling everybody right now to just calm down. Calm down.
Yeah.
Because you have to wait for the facts to come out before you can make an assumption to whether or that do we need to go in on this person, who we need to have arrested. You don't even if you wanted to do bodily harm to somebody, you don't even know who to go hit. You don't even know who to go fight right now. You know, just let the evidence come out. And here's one thing that I want to say about the Benjamin Crumps of the world. Okay, they do their job. That's what they get paid to do. I'm not knocking that. But here is what I see that's going on. They get ahead of the story, and then you run and you say and you put out things, put out a narrative, push it, and you collect more money. People are going to continue to send money. And then when the facts come out, it then died out, it's gone, but you're still holding on to, I guess, the money. You got paid or your organization got paid, however that works. Now, I want to say this to you, man. I know I ain't let you say a word yet, but I'm going to say this to you. Kenny, please stop her. That I am sick and tired of people, especially Hollywood, portraying Mississippi as this racist place. I'm born and raised here. And I'm gonna say this, what I heard Benjamin Crump say the other day. He said that we're talking about Mississippi here, the state that lynched Emmett Till. And I was sitting there like, are you serious, man? That was almost 100 years ago, bruh. Yes, yeah. Racism existed. Yes, you got somebody who's still going to be racist. It doesn't matter what race you are, where you was born at. You're always going to have some type of problem. Jesus Christ himself suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins just because of that and for that very reason. So the devil will always walk with us. But here in Mississippi, white people and black people make a whole lot of babies down here. It's a lot of white-black love going on down here and white-black loving going on down here. Let me tell you something. You're probably familiar with the movie Eyes on the Prize about black slavery. Okay. Guess how I found out about slavery, man? I probably was 11 years old before I ever heard anything about slavery. And my father, my daddy don't play that race thing. He don't do any of that. Now, I was laying on the floor with my white partner while my black daddy and his white father was sitting on the couch. And we was all watching Eyes on the Prize. And then I saw them water hosing, you know, the black people and all that. And me and my white partner, we looked at our daddies and we was like, hey, what's going on? What happened? And then our parents started to tell us that it was a certain time in America where they were fighting. And you know what my question to my parents was? When? And how long did it go on? Daddy said, hey, it was like that forever, all the time. I said, so it lasted a day? He was like, no, all the time. I said, what, a week? It was like, no. And they laughed, like, no, this went on for many, many years. Me and my friend didn't get it because he was my friend, my white friend. And I was his black friend. We wrestled together. That's how I know hate is taught, man. It is taught, bro. Because I was a novice. I didn't know nothing about it, man. I had white friends, Asian friends, black friends. And that is one thing that these Democrat liberals try to push. The poor, downtrodden black person who needs the hand up or the handout from the government or a white man, and then they're going to attack a white man who says something against that may sound that we can twist and make it sound prejudiced. No, black people in this country, we have arrived. Black people don't need no handout or no hand up. Black have arrived. It is a lot of millionaires and billionaire black people in this country. And down here in South Mississippi, we are not a racist place, just walking around killing each other, shooting each other. You going off of what you saw on TV, man.
That's right.
I live here. And I had a couple guys on the East Coast. They tried to tell me that I wasn't aware of racism because I'm from here and I'm not aware of it. And now I'm going to tell you, it reminds me a lot of when this guy came into my shop. It was two blacks, including me. I was one of the blacks, and it was two Hispanic guys in here. And it was an older white guy came in my shop, and he tried to tell us that Donald Trump was racist, and here's why he's racist. And y'all don't and four minorities looking at this one elderly white guy saying, sir, I think we would know racism when we hear it, and we don't think that Donald Trump is racist. And that's how the liberal, you know what he did? He said, well, I don't think I can spend my money in your place of business. And he stood up and walked out. I said, thank you, sir.
Of course. Of course. God bless you, Emmanuel. I love that. And what a story. I mean, you shed an entirely different narrative from, like you said, what we hear in the mainstream media. What we hear is just the average assumption from some, especially on the left, that love to continue to feel this rage, that love to continue to feel this hate and this division that's in the country. That is 100+ years ago. That stuff is gone. We have these civil rights. We've brought people up and out of the dark and given people equal opportunity to live. And that's what the American dream is all about. And you guys are living that, and you're the prime example of that. And God bless you for that one. We need more messages like that because we don't get that very often.
Thank you, man. Thank you, brother. Let me tell you something. That is the truth right there. This is what I say. Why don't nobody highlight black, normal black people that is doing good? Here's what they like doing. Finding, and ain't nothing, you can't help what you was raised up at. Good thing they brought themselves out of the muck into the clay. But they go find people that was born in the ghettos of this world. They became rappers, and they didn't got shot five times, and they escaped it. Great from them. And they won't only show that in a successful black or a basketball player. Man, ain't nobody growing a 6'10". Only a few people make it there. You know what I'm saying? And only 1% of those guys get to go pro. So take a regular, normal black man and sit in somebody's classroom and apply himself. Like myself, man, I wasn't the greatest student in the world. But guess what? I figured it out, and I found a way to be successful in life. I did that. You see what I'm saying? It's so many stories about the average plumber that's successful, the average black electrician that is successful, man. I see it every day. I work with them. But the left do not want to push that narrative, just like when a black person dies. And we don't even know if a white man even touched the boy. You know what I'm saying? He probably just had a heart attack. We don't know anything. Or he probably was killed by one of those white guys. We don't know yet.
We don't know. And that's why I wanted to ask you, because we got a few minutes left here, Emmanuel, as we wrap this up. But, I mean, you being so close to the family, being the person that cut Nolan's hair when he was a kid for the first time, being so close to that community and seeing what's going on, do you have any speculation? I mean, I know it's right now still in the investigative stage and it's real early, but do you have an opinion on what may or may not have happened here?
Okay, my opinion is this, man. My opinion is, really, the truth is, I don't really have an opinion. You know what I'm saying? That's the God honest truth. But I have heard what some of those boys have said to a very close friend to those guys. He actually just got off the phone with me right before you called me. And I was just asking, do you have any more things to add? He's saying what you've heard already from those three boys that was in that picture and on the boat with him. He said he wants to stay on the island with that girl he had just met out there on the island. And they left. That's the story that's being investigated, and that's where it ends and stops right there. You know what I'm saying? Now, right. I have my own personal, you know, why would his body still be on that island? And they searched the island. And, I mean, did he wash back up on the island? Why is his cell phone home and he's not home? It's a lot of unanswered questions that definitely needs to be investigated. I'm strictly for the independent autopsy. I am for the independent autopsy. Why? Here's why I'm for the independent autopsy. The family most likely is not going to believe whatever the state comes up with. So let them purchase their own peace of mind. Let them, they sent the boy to Washington, D.C. His body's in Washington as we speak, having an independent autopsy. That's great for the family to do that. That's the best thing that the family can do. Don't depend on the state and nobody else that you don't trust. Do your own thing with your own son. And that's where, when this is all over with, said and done, they can have peace about whatever the end result is. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, we need the real information to come out and give peace to the family. And all this other hyperbolic rhetoric that's going on, all the fear-mongering, all the race-baiting that's going on from people, like you said, outside of the community, wanting to come in and turn it into something else, only puts more pressure and burden on a family who's grieving right now in a horrible situation that we're trying to figure out what the heck happened to make sure it doesn't happen again, and that's where we have to go to. So, Emmanuel, I love it. We're out of time, my friend. Keep fighting. Keep making this voice heard, brother, because we need to hear more of this.
Man. I have been fighting, and you can check me out on my YouTube and all social medias at Cutting with E. That's C-U-T-T-I-N with E. You will hear me fight and fight all day long on there, man. Hey, I appreciate you guys having me and giving me this opportunity, man. It makes me want to get back in radio, man. I missed it.
I love it. It's addicting. I'm telling you, it's addicting, Emmanuel. We appreciate it. Emmanuel McKinney, go find him on his social media. Go find his YouTube channel and get the information out. We got to spread that word because that is the biggest Achilles heel of the progressive movement, by taking away the identity politics that they are honing into, because that's only the only agenda they have in every single election. Got to take a break. We'll take your phone calls as we wrap things up today for a Friday here on the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Got a few minutes left. If you want to jump on the program, 901-260-5926. Emmanuel McKinney, man, he was a firebrand. I loved having him on the show, man. He really shows and showcases what the idea of America is, what the vision of America is. When the founding fathers created this 250 years ago that we're celebrating this year, and they said that all men are created equal under God and that everybody has the equal opportunity, not equal outcome, but equal opportunity. That's what they meant. And that's what they were promoting. And that's what they were trying to say, even though, unfortunately, we had slavery still at that time, but they knew that they didn't have the political willpower then to get it done. But they set the stage and laid the platform for it to be later on. And we were one of the first ones in the world to do that, which is really awesome. So appreciate him coming on, and we'll continue to follow that story with Nolan Wells. Very sad story. And the judge, I can't read some of the comments that have been sent to me on this conversation, the private messages that were sent to this judge in social media, of the threats, of the anger, of the hate. Pretty wild, man. Pretty wild. Speaking of wild, by the way, I wish I had the audio clip. It just posted on social media with the story on the Blaze. But Democrat Representative Sylvia Garcia has made a comment regarding the investigation on an ICE shooting that happened down in Texas regarding an illegal alien. They were doing an ICE operation, tried to arrest the individual. He resisted arrest, tried to run over the ICE agents with the vehicle, and the ICE agent shot him. Well, according to Democrat Rep. Sylvia Garcia, here's her quote. I don't have the audio, so I'm going to have to read it for you. If they really think that a car is going to hurt somebody, you shoot the tires. You don't shoot the driver. I mean, that's the world that we live in. Look, you can't reason with these individuals. And when you're so driven ideologically that it makes your brain hurt because you say really dumb stuff, then you've lost. You've already lost the conversation. Yeah, I'm sure that you think, gee, I'm going to shoot the tires and let it roll into me as opposed to just stopping the individual from hitting me with their vehicle. Same situation as what we saw up in Minnesota, during the wintertime when all this broke out a year or so ago. So, yeah, look, when you try to fight law enforcement, you're going to get hurt. If you try to run over law enforcement, you're going to be shot. And that's just the way of the world, and there's nothing wrong or different about that. We are out of time, my friends. God bless you, Todd Starnes. Thank you so much for letting me fill in as usual. Andy Hoosier sitting behind the microphone today. Todd will be back at it before you know it. Until then, everybody have a great weekend. Continue that celebration of America's 250th birthday, and we will see you back on the radio soon. Bye.